Lynn and I live just going towards Northfield, a little way before you get to the Royal Orthopaedic Hospital. And 18 months ago, one Sunday morning, about 5 o'clock in the morning, we were awakened by just a noise. And we realized that somebody was knocking on our door. Now, I don't know if anybody knocked on your door at 5 o'clock this morning, but I looked out the window first and went down, and it was a fire officer. And the sight was there to see. The water was pouring down our roads, almost like a river. A strong current, it seemed. Water was just pouring down our road. And he said to us, "I think you might escape. It might not come into your house, but if it does, be sure to turn off all the electrics straight away." And then we noticed, or I noticed because I was down at the door, that the people over the road, their houses sloped down into the road, and the water was coming down, not going up. So I thought, that means that the water is coming from inside their house and pouring down into the road, which proved to be true. And immediately it raised the question. The water was pouring down the road. We live at number 19. Time we got to number 25 on our side, they were being flooded, and every single house over the road was flooded right through, and a block of apartments, where I grew up, we called them flats, but you have to be posh now and call them apartments. All the apartments, they were just washed through as well. And it raised the question, a very simple question, where's it all coming from? What's caused this? Why is it happening? And it was discovered that it was a burst water main right out on the A38, just on the edge of our estate. But it was this question, where is it coming? What's the source of all this that seemed to be so important? It's difficult to forget that at any rate. I think Lynn and I still live with a sense of guilt that we were going away the very next day for a few days in the Lake District, escaping the lot, and it felt awful leaving our neighbours. So it was a very difficult time for the street and this question of source. But my mind went back to that when it was suggested that our theme for this morning, as we think about the story of Jesus in John's Gospel, comes from John 7. I'm just going to read three verses, just three, and then we'll come back, where we're talking about the Jewish Feast of Tabernacles. That's what it's called in John 7. Sometimes it has other names. It's been called the Feast of Booths. People tell us that the correct word is probably the Feast of Huts, but that just doesn't sound as impressive, does it, as tabernacles. But in verse 37 of John 7, it says, "On the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, 'Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them.' By this, Jesus meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified." So we're in the Jewish Feast of Tabernacles. It lasts 7 days. Some people think it lasts eight, and there's a bit of discussion about that as to whether the last and greatest day is the eighth or the seventh. But that doesn't really matter. It lasts 7 days. But on the last day of the festival, they enacted a sort of water ceremony that was part of the festival. And this Feast of Tabernacles for the Jewish people at the time was a really sort of positive, exciting thing. It was characterized by three things. It was characterized by joy. Everybody loved it because it was related to the gathering in of the harvest. It was characterized by dancing. Everybody could. And I need to tell you, it was characterized by drinking of wine, and which enhanced the happiness and the freedom of the joy of the dancing. So those were the things that characterized this festival. But there was a water ceremony at the end, and Jesus kind of picks that up. He picks it up, of course, from what Jesus didn't know at the time would be John 4. I mean, John chapter 4 wasn't written then, was it? So, but for us as readers, it picks it up from John 4, where, as you know, Jesus encounters a Samaritan woman at a well, has this conversation with her about water, living water, and where Jesus says to her, if you knew who's talking to you, I would give you, it would be like a spring of living water welling up to eternal life within you. I've always puzzled, some of you will know that in John's Gospel, we have a whole series of what we call I am sayings. I am the light of the world. I am the resurrection and the life. Yeah, I am the good shepherd. I am the way, the truth and the life. Why didn't Jesus say, I am the living water? I am the bread of life. But it's fascinating to think that Jesus talked so much about water, but never actually nailed it, it seems, in the same way that he nailed the others. That's just something you have to think about over the lunch table. But here, Jesus is saying, I will be for you, within you, a source of living water. Now, what does that mean? Does that make any sense to those of us who live here in 2022? What does it mean, say, Jesus is a source of living water in us? I think it means that when you speak, your words should be traceable back to Jesus. When I speak, my words, what I say, should be traceable back to Jesus. Because if he is within me by his Holy Spirit, he is the source of what I say. That's incredibly challenging. Can you cope with it? I mean, when you tell your child, don't answer back, are you sure that's what Jesus would say? Or would he say sometimes, let's listen to them. Let's hear what they've got to say. One of my great discoveries as a granddad years and years ago was that I'd not just got a granddaughter who was 6 years old, but I could have a real conversation with her. It was just a humbling and exciting discovery. And many of you will have made the same kind for yourself. But it's about our deeds, the things that we do, the attitudes that we take. Surely they are to reflect Jesus being the source in us of living water, water that flows out, lives that refresh others. It's hugely challenging. We kind of need to just stop and say, let's think about it, you know, for a while. That if we take seriously that Jesus is in us, and his promise to the woman at the well, and then here at the festival when so many people are there and having a wonderful time enjoying themselves, Jesus is able to say, when my spirit comes among you, it will be like a source of living water flowing from you. And it means that others, ideally, will trace. The words that you speak are for me the words of Jesus. What you have just done, what I have seen you do, that for me is the very action of Jesus. The attitude that you have taken, generous, forgiving, thoughtful, sensitive, the attitude that you have taken is for me the attitude of Jesus. So I'm saying to you very, very briefly, because we've got all our youngsters in and they don't want to be here for long, but I'm saying that is what it seems to me Jesus means here and in John 4 with the woman at the well, when you have this sort of fantastic promise that he will be like a stream of living water within us and flowing out. That means that Jesus is colouring, Jesus is affecting, Jesus is motivating, Jesus is inspiring who we are and the way we relate to one another. Let's pray for a moment. Heavenly Father, we thank you for these incredible words of Jesus. We thank you that clearly they were repeated that he said this kind of thing more than once at least. And as we wrestle with what it means and what it can mean to us day by day, oh Lord, we pray that you will help us to see with your eyes. It would be so wonderful if my words came to someone else as the words of Jesus. The things I do came to others as the very action of Jesus. The attitude that I take came to others as the attitude of Jesus. Lord, we long that for ourselves. We pray it for one another. And we thank you for your presence among us now. In the name of Jesus, amen. Where's Mike? Just a reminder that Mike has asked me to make about the election of deacons. Those of you that are church members, there's an election of deacons coming up quite soon, and you need to get a form if you want to nominate somebody, and you need to get a form and be sure that it's handed back to Michael. There you are, he's waving it around over there, and be sure that that's handed back to him by Sunday week, 2 weeks from today, the 13th of March. It's there in the news sheets, but do please act on it. I've been a minister for long enough in the past to know it's devastating when nobody takes the trouble to nominate anybody and you're rushing around at the last minute. So it'd be great to take action straight away. Michael, is there anything else that we need to say? Thank you. In one moment, we're going to sing a closing hymn. And after we've sung that, I'm hoping that there will come up at the end, when we've sung the hymn, some words up on the screen. And I'll read them to you now. They say four things. The first is, you can do anything through Christ who strengthens you. Oh, they are up there. Bless you. Thank you. Our God will meet all your needs. The Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. The God of peace will be with you. What I'm asking is, would you, when they come up after the hymn, don't worry now, but would you choose one of them, just one of them, and be sure to offer it to at least one person after the service? That's pretty clear, isn't it? That means you can't go home and say, nobody spoke to me this morning, because you should have spoken to someone yourself, okay? So be sure, just pick one of them and choose someone that may be not expecting and bless the socks off them by what you say, okay? Let's stand and sing, Tell Out My Soul the Greatness of the Lord.